Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Here and Now, the Dawlish and Tynmouth area talking newspaper. Today is Friday the 10th of April and we are the Yellow Team. I'm joined by four readers from our team for this week's programme, and that is Maggie West, Linda Bowman, Anne Hatcher, Lynn Yates, and we've got Ian Ferguson as our producer. I've got some diary dates for you to begin with, and that is Monday the 13th of April, the West Bank Practice Patient Participation Group have their AGM at the West Bank Exminster at 7 p.m. All are welcome. Tuesday the 14th of April, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Totnes and the cost is £16.50. Saturday the 18th of April, 7 p.m. at Kenton Church, there is a performance of magic flutes called Fluke Cake by Candlelight. The tickets are £14 at the door. And the following week, on Tuesday the 21st of April, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Ensley Gardens Centre and the cost will be £20. And I've got one more date for you, which is Tuesday the 17th of April. The location is West Point Conference Centre. The time is 9 till 3 and admission is free. And this is an event put on by Site Village. And Site Village is the UK's leading event for the blind and low vision community, offering a unique and exciting opportunity to discover the latest assistive technology, products and support services. Attendees can benefit from engaging interactive seminars, hands-on demonstrations, and the chance to connect directly with industry experts and service providers, all in one accessible and welcoming environment. And now, it does say tickets are now available. Book your free ticket today. And there's more information on their website, which is QAC Site Village, or one word, .org.uk, or there's a telephone number of 0121 803 5313.
Hello, I'm Lynn. And my first article is Here We Go, the annual Bunny Fun Run. The Easter Bunny took time off from egg delivering duties to stretch his furry legs on a popular fun run. Tynmouth's annual Rabbit Run, which took place on Easter Monday, saw several hundred runners, all ages and abilities, don a set of rabbit ears and a fluffy rabbit tail to tackle the 1.5 mile course along the town's seafront. The fun fundraising event was organised by the 4th Tynmouth Scout Group. The route saw runners run, walk or bunny hop out along the seafront to the Lido, past the back of Eastcliff Car Park, up onto the Eastcliff around the Rowdens Fields, and then back across the railway bridge and along the seafront to the pier, where finishers received a coveted Rabbit Run medal. And I've got a whole page of beautiful photographs here. It was a beautiful day on Monday. Everybody looks really happy and colourful. I've got a little girl here running alongside what is obviously her mum. She's got pink trousers on and pink fluffy ears. I've got a young man. He's running way ahead of everybody else, so I'm assuming he got a very good medal, and a lot of people with thumbs up signs and lots of colourful clothes.
Hello, it's Maggie West here, and my first story is, I suppose, a little bittersweet. The headline is Easter celebrations muted by death of cygnets. Waterfowl wardens in Dawlish are keeping a watchful eye on the new family of black swans after two of the seven newly hatched cygnets died. The sad announcement has come after celebrations over Easter weekend with the arrival of the magnificent seven to parents Bert and Kimber. The remaining cygnets on the nest at Tuck's Plot are still being monitored closely, and the wardens are continuing to keep a watchful eye on them over the coming days. They're a welcome sight in Dawlish, as the swan population has endured a tough time with harsh winter storms destroying previous nests. And the new arrivals follow a difficult year for the town's waterfowl population, following an outbreak of avian flu, when up to 50 of the ornamental birds had to be humanely culled. The latest cygnets to arrive will hopefully be out paddling on the water within the next day or so. And there's a lovely photograph of one of the remaining cygnets sitting, having a good look round, but closely guarded by Mum.
Hello, I'm Anne, and my first story is a warning from the Coast Guard to check tide times after two rescues. Coast Guards in Dawlish are warning people to check tide times after responding to two incidents involving casualties cut off by the tide. In the first, the Dawlish team was called to help colleagues in Exmouth, where two people were cut off by the tide on rocks in the resort. Then on Tuesday, just before 8 p.m, the alarm was raised again when four people and a dog were cut off by the tide at Dawlish Warren. As the team were arriving on scene, colleagues from Exmouth Lifeboat were able to get to the casualties in their inshore lifeboat. A spokesman for Dawlish Coast Guard said both these shouts included people getting cut off by the tide. As the weather warms and the sun makes more appearances, please remember to check the tide times to prevent situations like this.
Hello, and I'm Linda. RSPCA urges adoption as large rescues rise. The RSPCA has urged potential pet owners to consider rescuing an animal, as new figures reveal that large-scale incidents have risen dramatically. Nationally, the charity has seen a 70% rise in large-scale incidents involving 10 or more animals over the past 4 years. Last year, the RSPCA attended 4,200 such incidents, including 387 in the southwest. And figures released this year have revealed that the number of animals in RSPCA centres has reached a six-year high. RSPCA Superintendent Joe Hurst said, "We are struggling with rising reports of cruelty and neglect, and over recent years more and more of those reports will involve 10, 20, even 100 animals. And because they've been living in such large groups, they may need more support until they are ready to find a new home. We currently have more animals in our care than space in our centres. These large animal rescues are adding to already overwhelmed animal centres and local charities. We really need help from animal lovers." The RSPCA has worked with other charities, including the Dogs Trust, to ensure that all animals receive the care they need. In December, the RSPCA assisted Devon and Cornwall Police to remove more than 100 cats, a dog, and a tortoise from a three-bedroomed house. Hoarding is just one of the causes of these multi-animal incidents, sometimes occurring when breeders become overwhelmed by the number of puppies or kittens in their care. Joe Hurst added, "Serious mental health issues and complex situations involving animal hoarding are in part driving these figures. We are encouraging people to contact an animal rescue organisation if they are at a stage where they or someone they know is struggling with the number of animals they have in their household. Often, problems escalate because people don't reach out early enough. Anyone wishing to adopt an animal from an RSPCA centre can visit rspca.org.uk/find-a-pet. And there's one photograph of lots and lots of poodle crosses. And apparently the RSPCA rescued more than 250 of that breed.
Free family fireworks display will go ahead. This year's bonfire and fireworks display will go ahead in Shaldon. The parish council has confirmed the hugely popular community display on the beach will be a free family event. The announcement comes after Tynmouth Town Council withdrew its financial support. Now the parish council has revealed this year's event will take place on Saturday, October the 31st, and have a Halloween-themed bonfire on Shaldon Beach, and fireworks will continue to be fired from the point in Tynmouth, as in previous years. A parish council spokesman said, "As always, this event will be free for all who wish to attend. We have to choose the closest Saturday to bonfire night, when the tides enable us to build our brilliant bonfire on Shaldon Beach for an early evening lighting, and that is October the 31st. We will need to review the feasibility of this event after this year, as long term this is clearly not sustainable. Thank you so much to all the lovely people of Tynmouth. Your enthusiasm for one of the most popular free annual events in the Teen Estuary has encouraged us to continue. More details will be announced nearer the event." Previously, the display was a joint venture between both councils, but Tynmouth Town Councillors opted to withdraw funding after consideration over the lack of benefit to Tynmouth traders, the logistics for its staff, and it had no control over arrangements. And we've got one photograph here, and it's of all the fireworks, and it's been donated by Shaldon Parish Council.
Is a derelict site in Dawlish set for new life? Plans to redevelop a derelict site in Dawlish have been submitted to planners. The application is seeking to restore and convert the old vicarage building into 6 dwellings. The site at 13 Weech Road currently comprises a 3-storey stone structure, a 2-storey stone structure, a cob building and a detached coach house. All buildings are listed and in varying states of disrepair. Teignbridge Council are due to make a decision by June the 2nd. The statement concludes by saying, "This proposal represents a conservation-led conversion that secures the future of 3 listed buildings through sensitive repair and adaptation. The scheme has been shaped by extensive pre-application engagement and reflects best practice in heritage design, sustainability, and residential planning."
Meningitis symptoms to be on the lookout for. In the wake of a spate of meningitis cases in Kent, Devon County Council is keen to ensure residents know which symptoms to look out for. The council also wants to reassure residents the local risk in Devon has not changed and there is currently no evidence of wider spread. However, it is always important for people to be aware of the signs and symptoms of meningitis and septicemia, and for people to stay vigilant as these illnesses can develop very quickly. Although vaccinations against meningitis can offer some protection against getting the infection, not all causes of meningitis are preventable by having vaccinations. Therefore, it's still really important to recognise the symptoms, even if you have already been vaccinated. Meningitis is the inflammation of the protective membranes around the brain and spinal cord. Septicemia is a serious infection of the bloodstream. The onset of illness is often sudden, and early diagnosis and treatment with antibiotics are vital. The symptoms can present in any order and may not always be present. Although the rash is often the most common symptom, this does not always occur and can develop after other earlier symptoms, so it is important not to wait for a rash. The symptoms include a rash that doesn't fade when pressed with a glass, sudden onset of high fever, severe and worsening headache, stiff neck, vomiting and diarrhea, joint and muscle pain, dislike of bright lights, very cold hands and feet, seizures, confusion, delirium, extreme sleepiness, difficulty waking. People with meningitis, septicemia or sepsis can quickly become very unwell. This means checking on people and encouraging young people living away to check on friends, as rapid treatment is critical. Call 999 immediately or go to your nearest A&E if you think you or someone in your care could have meningitis, septicemia or sepsis. Trust your instincts and do not wait for all symptoms or for a rash to develop. Call NHS 111 for advice if you're unsure whether it's serious. There are numerous strains of the infection, and some, but not all, are covered by vaccinations. The vaccination gives good protection against men A, men C, men W, and men Y, and is routinely offered to teenagers in school year 9, with catch-up available in school years 10 and 11. For those who have left school, they are able to access this vaccination via their registered GP up to age 25. Since May 2015, babies are offered vaccination for men B as part of the routine programme at 8 weeks, 12 weeks and 1 year by their registered GP. These vaccinations can be caught up to the age of 2. The men B vaccine does not protect against all men B bacterium types. This is why it is so important to raise awareness of signs and symptoms alongside the available vaccines. To remind yourself of whether your children have had all the routine vaccinations, you can check your child's red book. Alternatively, the NHS app can also provide a vaccination history or ask your registered GP practice.
Pet owners get fake medications alert. Pet owners are being urged to exercise caution buying medication online. Newton Abbott vet Dr. Lennon Fu is warning of the growing risks linked to counterfeit products, incorrect dosing, and the absence of clinical oversight. Although the prices are lower and it is convenient to buy online, what may seem to be a saving can put pets at serious risk. Veterinary professionals emphasize that safe treatment requires careful clinical assessment. Dosage must be tailored to an animal's weight, breed, age, and medical history. Even small variations can affect safety and effectiveness. Without veterinary involvement, pets may receive inappropriate medication or miss underlying health conditions. Veterinary prescriptions involve a detailed clinical and legal process, ensuring medications are appropriate, correctly dosed, and sourced through regulated channels.
I now have a letter sent in to the editor titled Gloves On or Gloves Off. Speaking about Trump's Iran war, Keir Starmer has said, "This is not our war and we are not going to be dragged into it." This is in stark contrast to Nigel Farage's utterings when the war started, saying, "The gloves need to come off. We need to accept that we are part of this with the Americans." When asked if a reform government would order the RAF to bomb Iran, his second in command, Richard Tice, said, "We would be helping the Americans and Israelis in any way they saw appropriate. If requests were made, we would be saying, yes, we are pleased to help." As the world economy descends into chaos, with our petrol, electricity and food costs rocketing, the death toll in the Middle East continues to rise. Trump's war is illegal and ill-planned, with no goal or end in sight. But what has Nigel Farage said in the past about his hero, Donald Trump? Farage has described Trump as full of good ideas. He told supporters that Trump will serve as an inspiration to us. He said Trump would make the world a better, safer place. On Trump, a convicted criminal, he said, "This is the single most resilient and brave person I have ever met in my life." Farage outrageously says he wants to be Prime Minister. If you care about our country, would you really consider voting for a party headed by this man? And that letter was sent in by Mike Baldwin of Thorverton.
We now have another letter to the editor, this time sent in by email, and it's from Laurie Taylor, and entitled "Broken Politics and Broken Economics." Our government has recently had a difficult time deciding how to increase defence spending, arguably quite necessary in the present circumstances. The problem seems to be where and what spending to cut to be able to reallocate money to defence. Oh dear. The almost ubiquitous belief in the household budget analogy of government spending. It is fed to us from all sides. But it's wrong. The government does not have to balance the books, as we're told. It has to balance the economy, which is very different. This appears to be something that they do not understand or willfully avoid. John Maynard Keynes, who I consider was the most insightful economist of the 20th century, said in April 1942, he'd been brought into government by Churchill to advise on war economics, "Anything we can actually do, we can afford." He was highlighting that the true restraints on government actions are the availability of physical resources, that is, labour and materials. Since the late 1970s, our governments have been unthinkingly, or intentionally, pursued neoliberalised neoclassical economics, which pump money from the poorest to the wealthiest. Not surprising, then, that the UK politics and economics are so broken. Maybe the first question to be asked when thinking of defence spending is, what are we defending and why? The questions I ask are, how do we begin to unravel such massive and entrenched economic incompetence? Is it possible? Well, in my opinion, the very first step is changing the voting system to a proportional one, and then there might be a chance. Failure to do this could well transform a genuine malaise of hopelessness and despair brought about by the politically misguided choice of austerity into rebellious or revolutionary actions from those with little or nothing to lose. Not a good outcome.
The next article I've got is in Tynmouth 50 years ago. And it's articles from the Tynmouth Post and Gazette on Friday, the 16th of April, 1976. The first story is War Against Crime. A new initiative was made by the Devon and Cornwall's Chief Constable, Mr. John Anderson. He called for a new dynamic community assault on crime with police-backed neighbourhood schemes, involving the man in the street and even the ranks of the unemployed. He suggested the great authority of the TUC should be brought in to aid the fight against crime and speak out against lawlessness. He made the interesting point that authorities should be cautious about excessive use of criminal law against otherwise good but forgetful, incompetent or apathetic people. And then the second little article is titled Election Battleground. Mr. Dick Every attacked the Mayor of Tynmouth, Mr. Edward Card, who was opposing him in the District Council's East Ward election. He said, "I helped make you Mayor of this town and have given you my loyal support. By virtue of the offices I hold, I have given you private and confidential information when I knew you could not obtain it from any other source. I was amazed to learn that you do not reciprocate this loyalty, support, and confidence. Two councillors are not seeking re-election, Mr. Evans in Central Ward, Mr. Harris in West Ward. You decided to ignore this and attempt to unseat Mr. Frederick Morris at Teignbridge or myself at East Ward that I have represented for 12 years. Even in the jungle, which is local government, dog does not eat dog. And then the final little story from 1976 is titled Betting Shop for Sholden. Dear Sir, I was unfortunate enough to fulfil my military obligations in World War II here in England and to discover your wonderful country as an aggressive Anglophile. I rejoiced in a few particularly valued friends, and many times I have spent weeks in Sholden. It never pales. My first impression is of serenity and peace, while today's world has gone stark raving mad. I was dismayed to learn that there are plans to set up a betting shop in Fore Street. Sholden needs this about as much as an epidemic of bubonic plague. I like my mild flutter as well as the next chap, but they have their proper place, and in my humble and respectful opinion, Sholden is not like Morecambe, Blackpool or Southend. Let one betting shop into Sholden, and you will have an irreversible chain of events which cannot but destroy the greatest tourist asset, her delightful differentness. And that was from somebody called Richard W. Hansen in Summit, New Jersey, USA.
Write to your MP to help safeguard nature. The National Trust is calling on people to write to their MP at the launch of a campaign to stop the unravelling of nature protections. In their Nature Equals Future campaign, they hope instead to persuade ministers to step up the pace to help British wildlife recover. The charity is asking the government to honour the commitment to manage 30% of land for nature by 2030 and to defend nature and wildlife from weakening laws that protect them. It is also seeking the introduction of a strong water reform bill to clean up our rivers, streams and seas and make polluters pay, they say. They further demand that neighbourhoods are rich in nature and end unfair access to green space, seeking the government to publish their long-promised action plan by the end of the year. They say in the last 12 months, the Prime Minister and Chancellor have presented wildlife as a blocker to growth and changed long-standing nature policies, including making it easier for developers to build without improving the environment. The last time the Trust led a similar campaign was in 2011, when it initiated a petition that succeeded in stopping proposed planning reforms. Hilary McGrady, Director General of the National Trust, said, "We would never launch a campaign like this lightly, but nature is in a state of freefall in this country, and our government doesn't appear to be taking the issue seriously enough. It's time politicians listened to the electorate and started to implement change. Clean rivers and seas, natural places for children to play, and healthy local food are all within grasp with the right political action. But we must raise the level of aspiration. Nature can and must be restored to our islands."
10 arrests made for the fatal five. Policing teams carried out proactive patrols in Torquay, Paignton, Newton Abbot and Kingsbridge last week. The operation led to the arrest of 10 people in relation to fatal five driving offences. The fatal five include driving while distracted, speeding, driving without a seatbelt, drink or drug driving, and being unfit to drive. Around 98% of collisions are caused by human error, with only 2% caused by unavoidable issues, such as mechanical failure. Several teams, including the dog section and the special constabulary, focused on fatal five offences across the Newton Abbot, Kingsbridge, Torquay and Paignton. During the operations, officers carried out 36 vehicle stops. Police recorded 6 drink driving offences, 3 drug driving offences, 3 positive drug swipes, 5 positive breath tests, and officers seized 2 vehicles as part of the operation. The special constabulary focused on speeding motorists in the Sheldon area, with 27 drivers over the threshold, with the top speed in the 20-mile-an-hour limit being 49 miles per hour. Chief Inspector Simon Bayliss, local policing in South Devon, said, This was a very successful night, with plenty of positive engagement with drivers. Whilst we know the majority of road users drive safely and abide by laws, it is disappointing to see this many people suspected of breaking the law and taking unnecessary risks while behind the wheel. Every year we see families' lives torn apart by the selfish minority who get behind the wheel and commit these fatal five offences with zero regard for their own safety or the safety of others. We will continue to work with our partners to target offenders and reduce the numbers of people killed or seriously injured on our roads. And there's just one photograph here of 4 police cars all lined up and ready to carry out their proactive patrols.
Tributes paid after death of town councillor. Tributes have been paid following the death of Dawlish councillor Mike James. Dawlish Town Council has announced he has died following a short illness. In a statement, the council said he will be remembered for his commitment to public service and contribution to the community. A Liberal Democrat, he was elected to Dawlish Town Council in 2019, representing the South West Ward, and also on Teignbridge District Council for the same ward. Before moving to Dawlish, Mike had a long-standing commitment to public life, having previously served as a councillor at Torbay Council during the 20,000s, I beg your pardon. In addition, he gave his time voluntarily as a governor of Torbay and South Devon NHS Foundation Trust, demonstrating his dedication to supporting local health issues. The Mayor of Dawlish said, "Thank you, Mike. You were a role model to us all. His warmth, his humour, advice, words of wisdom and knowledge is not lost with his passing, as he has touched us all with his generosity." And there is a picture of Councillor Mike James.
Dawlish mourns beloved volunteer. Tributes have been paid following the death of a long-standing Dawlish volunteer. Bernard Tippins died at his home in Holcombe at the age of 79 following a long illness. He was a celebrated paramedic who was well known for his dedication to Dawlish through his work with St John's Ambulance, the Salvation Army and Scouting. Born in Dawlish in 1946, he lived in the town all his life and became a recognisable figure in the community. Having been a member of the local St John Ambulance Brigade from the age of 10, he was a volunteer in the 1960s and a vital part of what was then a volunteer ambulance service. In 1996, Bernard was awarded the Order of the Brotherhood of St John in recognition of his voluntary work, which over many years included more than 400 hours spent on duty at public events, training, and lecturing in first aid. He died in February after a long illness and is survived by his wife Sue, sons James and Wycliffe, and 3 grandchildren. And there's a nice photo of Bernard there with his award.
Residents urged to back No Mow May. Residents in Dawlish are being encouraged to support the annual No Mow May campaign. Town councillor and environmentalist Scott Williams is appealing to everyone to help make a difference. The national campaign encourages gardeners to stop mowing throughout the month of May to allow wildflowers to grow, providing essential nectar and pollen for pollinators like bees and butterflies. This helps boost biodiversity, with studies showing that letting lawns grow can yield up to 10 times more nectar for insects. Councillor Williams said, "I would like to say a big thank you to everyone who supported NMM last year. Your involvement made a real difference, helping to create a cleaner, greener and more connected community here in Dawlish. Supporting No Mow May made a real difference right here in our community. By letting grass grow a little longer, you help create vital habitats for bees, butterflies and other pollinators. These small changes provide food, shelter and space for wildlife that is increasingly under pressure. Even those modest patches of longer grass boost biodiversity, improve soil health and help capture carbon, all contributing to a healthier local environment. By taking part, you contribute to reducing waste, lowering emissions, and encouraging more sustainable choices right on our doorstep. Small local actions like these add up, protecting our coastline, supporting wildlife, and helping to keep Dawlish a beautiful place to live for years to come. Councillor Williams is a Dawlish ACT Wildlife Warden and a founder member of Waterways Around the Dawlish Environment. It is a group of volunteers who look after the brook from Tuck's Plot and York Gardens to Manor Gardens, and an initiative for community engagement and environmental conservation.
Dawlish seawall repairs make good progress. Engineers working on repairs to Dawlish seawall say they are making good progress. Repair work is needed to the old seawall footpath between Dawlish and Dawlish Warren after storm damage earlier this year. It is hoped that the stretch between Dawlish Coast Guard's breakwater and Rockstone Bridge could reopen as soon as April the 11th. The full stretch between Dawlish and Langstone Red Rock is expected to reopen on the early May bank holiday weekend of Saturday, May the 2nd. A spokesman for the South West Rail Resilience Programme said, "However, these dates depend on the weather, and we may not meet them if there are further storms. In the meantime, the footpath remains closed to keep everyone safe. Please don't attempt to climb over the gates. Thank you for your continued support and patience."
Councillor appeals for help for farmers. Devon County Council's member for Rural Affairs has warned that soaring heating oil, red diesel and fertiliser costs are creating a perfect storm for farmers, rural businesses and communities. Councillor Cheryl Cottle-Hunkin says rapidly rising costs are hitting rural areas hard and has now written to the Chancellor calling for urgent government action. In her letter, she highlights the speed and scale of recent increases, with some Devon residents reporting heating oil and red diesel prices more than doubling in just a matter of days, driven by instability in the global energy market. Devon's rural makeup leaves it particularly exposed. Around half of the country's population live in rural communities, many in homes that are not connected to the mains gas network and instead rely on heating oil or off-grid gas. She also warned that farmers are facing rising costs across their businesses, with sharp increases in red diesel and fertiliser prices threatening farm viability, food production and the wider rural economy. Farmers across Devon are facing a perfect storm of rising costs, she wrote. Devon's farming sector plays a vital role not only in the country's economy, but also in the nation's food security. Transport costs are adding further pressure. In rural areas where public transport is lacking and services are declining, private vehicles are often essential for getting to work, school, shops, and medical appointments, with some low-income households spending up to a quarter of their disposable income simply running a car. She warned that these pressures risk creating a severe, immediate financial shock across rural Devon unless action is taken. She's calling for increased support for households that rely on heating oil and LPG, saying the current funding and eligibility criteria doesn't go far enough. She's also calling for urgent help for farmers and rural businesses facing exceptional cost increases. Rural communities contribute enormously to food security, national economy, and the care of our landscapes, she said. It is crucial that government acts swiftly to ensure rural residents and businesses are not left behind during this crisis. And there is a picture of three cows, two black and white ones and one brown one, and they don't look awfully happy about it either.
And now there is a notice that is being put in the newspapers about a road closure in Dawlish. Temporary prohibition of through traffic and parking, Exeter Road and Elm Grove Road, Dawlish. Notice is hereby given that Devon County Council has made the above-titled order from the 13th of April 2026, with an anticipated finish on the 24th of April 2026. No person shall cause or permit any vehicle to proceed or wait on the sections of affected roads. The roads affected are Exeter Road and Elm Grove Road, Dawlish. There will be a long diversion in place. This temporary restriction is considered necessary to enable connection points and replace old metallic gas mains. For additional information, contact Wales and West Utilities, telephone 0800 91 22 999.
A chance to dig Digence. Comedian and folk singer Richard Digence will be performing at the Flavel in Dartmouth later this month. Born in West Ham, London, he began his musical career in the late 1960s as part of the folk music boom, and has remained an evergreen performer for six decades. On his own TV show in the 1980s and 1990s, he played a guitar duet with Queen's Brian May and also supported Steve Martin in the USA, and both the late comedy genius Robin Williams and Roy Orbison at the London Palladium. He has also composed audiobook music and songs for author Bill Bryson, and three award-winning documentaries for independent radio. Tickets for the show on April the 25th can be booked at https://theflavel.org.uk.
This brings us to the end of this week's edition of Here and Now, recorded at our studio in Dawlish on Friday the 10th of November. We hope you have enjoyed the programme. If you need to contact us for any reason, the telephone number is 07376 147374. Please leave your name and telephone number on the answering service and we will ring you back. Our editor this week is Sue Smallwood. The copy and the dispatch is done as a team this week. The programme was produced and directed by Ian Ferguson. So goodbye from all of us. That's Maggie West, Linda Bowman, Anne Hatcher, Lynn Yates, Ian Ferguson and Sue Smallwood.